Greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy in here with you tonight. Welcome in here to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard. We got a great program lined up for you. Part two of unveiling the second Passover. We're going to give you reasons why rather than reasons to deny. You see, most people, ladies and gentlemen, become hearers of the word and not doers. We're looking for a few good doers that'll obey that form of doctrine delivered and still have faith that the Word of God is forever settled, nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken away, and the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, all things work to the good them that love Him, but in the last days there shall come a falling away. That means that people will deny, and they will change to keep their own traditions. They will do away with these sacred commandments, and we're talking about the festivals here of Revelation. You see, the Father has placed certain aspects of obedience to His command. He said, why call me your Savior and your Messiah and do not the things that I say to do? So it's a performance. It's strictly based on performance. You see, your faith will never rise above the level of your confession. Now, let me repeat that for you. Your faith will never rise above the level of your confession. So if you confess little, then you're going to get a little. If you confess much, in other words, if you believe what is written and you want to make your election and calling sure, you want to put on the whole armor, let's say. You see, ladies and gentlemen, fanaticism seems very awkward and unnecessary today. But what will it seem like on the day of the fire? What will it seem like to you in the day that you are to appear before Him and bow the knee? Are you wanting to hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant, you've been faithful of a few things, I'll make you rule over many? Or are you wanting to hear Him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you? Well, you see, the time is now. You see, tomorrow's going to never come. Yesterday is something you can't recall. And your performance is based on today. So you got to perform today. Today's the day of salvation, and today if you hear His voice. Now, what's His voice? It's Word. Well, what's His Word? That's what you have written. These things have happened as an example. The Bible said that the law is a schoolmaster. Well, everybody thinks the law is just done away with, and we don't have to perform those things that are given, especially in the book of Exodus chapter 12 and the book of Leviticus chapter 23, where it lists and schedules the appointed festivals and feast days that we should keep. Did the Messiah perform those things committed to His trust? Of course He did. How many did He keep? He kept one every year except the last year of His life when the festival of Passover was coming around. They were plotting and planning to kill Him, but they said, not on our feast day. Don't kill Him in the Jews' Passover. Now, you know what the book of Lamentations says in verse 1? In chapter 1, verse 4. Let me read it to you. This is going to be the theme of our text tonight, if you will. Stay with us. We're going to unveil the second Passover. We're going to show you beyond a shadow of a reasonable doubt that the apostolic fathers, you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, everything went out the door when the Messiah died. He fulfilled everything. We don't have to do those things no more. And now we go to church and we have what is known as Easter, and, you know, we function and hide Easter eggs, and we remember the little children, and, of course, we all remember Christ, that He died for our sins and things of this nature. Well, ladies and gentlemen, does a Easter celebration fulfill the royal law of the commandments that was appointed to be based upon our performance? You see, faith without works is dead. And while you have a chance, I believe I'll testify while I've got a chance. I believe I'll keep the festivals while I've got a chance. Because the time will come that I may not have a chance anymore. So if I've done all I can do to stand in the eyes of faith. You see, most people are in such drastic shambles of faith. In other words, their faith is wax cold. Their performance is nil to none. They've never really obeyed that form of doctrine delivered unto them. They've listened to the soothsayers, the presenters of good tidings of great joy, pay and pray and prosper. That's the three P's. And ladies and gentlemen, if you really know what the three P's stand for, it's not pardon, or it's not to escape the wrath of the Almighty God. You will face Him in the day of judgment, and your performance will be based upon your faith of your obedience. So then, if the feast or schedule, Lamentations says the roads to Zion mourn. This is Lamentations chapter 1 verse 4. The road to Zion mourns because no one comes to the solemn assembly on the appointed feast. Now listen to that. Let me give it to you again. The roads to Zion mourn. Are the highways of the United States and Canada and nations abroad where these particular seed of the house of Jacob congregate that have our day in the sun, so to speak. We have our time. But are we caught up in the tears of this world? Are we rebelling against that which is written in order to keep our tradition which is not written? Did you know that we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power? Did you know that the Father does not sit idly by and unless you give a feeble excuse after excuse after excuse that you don't have any excuse and that your performance will be based on His Word in the end time, the books are going to be opened? Don't you know it's going to be very embarrassed when you say, well, what do you mean feast, Lord? I didn't keep none. I went to Christmas Eve play. You see, these pagan replacements, Easter, the bunny rabbit, the hiding of eggs, the fertility god of Ishtar, all of these pagan substitutes have replaced the three festivals that was commanded to keep in the spring, were commanded to keep a Passover. In the summer, the first crop in for the summer harvest, we're commanded to keep the Feast of Pentecost. That's 100 days after, because most people count 50, but it's really another 50 days added on to that after that you see the Revelation. We'll teach on that come Pentecost time. Great revelation in that, and most people, the truth is hidden from them in that revelation. They keep the wrong time. You see, ladies and gentlemen, He's an on-time God, and you must keep time with Him, not out of step. You must appear when He appears. You must gather when He says gather. And you must be disbanded when He calls for the ending or the breaking of the festivals. In this case, we're in coming, approaching to done marked the day of the equinox, where we begin the count to the first day of the month, which we know that the first Passover was kept in the month of Abib. Well, that's coordinating or coincides with the month of April. Well, if we do not have the authorization to keep the first Passover, and we don't, I'm going to give you a scripture to prove that. Let me show you something here. The roads to Zion mourn because no one comes to the solemn assembly of the appointed feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh and mourn. Her maidens are grieved and vexed as she herself is in bitterness. Now, where is the Father? Does he keep the appointments? That's the $64 question. Does he keep them? Well, if he does, and then you don't show up, he's going to say, well, I was in prison and you visited me not. See, you're coming to unlock the gates, to make your appearance. There's one thing that our Creator can't do. He can't worship himself. He created you for the purpose of worshiping him, and he gave you an appointment and told you to keep it. Well, if you say you love God and won't keep his appointments, then you're a liar and the truth ain't in you, and that's as simple as I can make it. Oh, you say, I've got too many things to do. It's too costly. I don't do that. The Bible said you're supposed to lay aside a little monies for your festival engagements. I look forward to it every year. I plan and purposely plan all year long to provide the means that I must attend the festivals. I cannot find it in my spirit, any way, form, or fashion, to be absent on the day appointed. I'm telling you, if you fear Yahweh and you love him and you walk upright before him and you serve him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, which is a reasonable service, then you're not going to put up every jake-legged, lame-legged, ever dumb-headed excuse that you can think of to keep from attending, because the world doesn't recognize the terms. You see, the Father has chosen things that didn't make it easy for you. Satan has made it purposely planned for you to be hard at work. When the time comes for you to worship the Creator at his appointed times, Satan's got his times all set against the time appointed by Yahweh. When Satan has got his times appointed to deceive the very elect, then Satan makes it very, very incredible glory, power, prestige, honor, a gathering of many people for those who keep a false assembly, those who keep a false feast day, because, you know, Yahweh spoke about those days that stinked in his nostrils. You say, well, therefore, he must not approve of all those time settings and those appointments to gather up and do them things, because now that's under the law anyway, Pastor Boy. Glory to God. I've heard that. I've heard that for the last 25 or 30 years out of people that you would profess to think that they are right. And they, through their unbelief, set aside the laws and the commandments of God, rejecting them to keep their own tradition and go astray and a whoring. As it is written, Yahweh has violently broken down his temple like a booth or a hedge of a garden. For the sake of the abandonment of my people, he has destroyed the place of his appointed assembly. Yahweh has caused the solemn appointed feasts and Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion, and has spurned and rejected in the indignation of his anger the kings and the priests that were appointed who failed to show. Well, ladies and gentlemen, has anything changed? No, it's all the same. It's the same old spirits doing the same old thing as it was in those days. They're doing the same things today in their unbelief, which is like witchcraft, which is greater than witchcraft. You see, unbelief is a damned sin greater than witchcraft. The only thing that's greater than witchcraft is unbelief. Unbelief is something that would change the Word of God into a lie, to worship the creature rather than the Creator, to bring in the false days and times rather than the true days and times, and that's why that we keep the second Passover in the month of May. Because the assembly that has been given into the hand of the enemy, the high buildings and the high places have been torn down. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what does that mean? We no longer have a first Passover temple to worship in, and those people that justify keeping the first Passover now are breaking the law of the covenant, because the appointed place in the assembly no longer exists. When that is torn down and Israel is scattered abroad, he said, in that day in those countries far, and when you are finding yourself in a foreign land, then you shall remember me and my festivals, and you shall return unto Yahweh with all your heart. what is the command? Those that keep the second Passover will find themselves in the far journey when they wake up to the fact that there's a time appointed that you can justifiably, under the Word of God, the living truth, rightly divided, position yourself at the appointed time in the second Passover, and there you can remember him in the appointments, because there he's gathered with his people of fire, because he dwells not in a temple made by hand. Oh, it's amazing the revelation that God has put down on the table in the last days through the Shepherd's Call ministry. And yet we fish and we hunt and we search, we plead and we pray. We give you scripture. But they shall rebel against me and they will not listen to me. Then they shall cast all of away the abominable things on which they feasted, their eyes, and they forsook the idols of Egypt. Then I thought, I will pour out my wrath upon them and finish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt, where they murmured and complained. And as it was in those days, so we have a murmuring and complaining, stiff-necked and old, disobedient people, justifying their sins, breaking the law of God, turning from the holy commandment delivered and rightly divided among them, proving all things through the scriptures and the time dates. It gives you an opportunity to keep the second Passover in just consequence. And a reward is given to them that will seek him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. But for those who will call together as on an appointed feast day of solemn assembly, my terrors that produce the danger from every side. And there was not one in the day of God's wrath who escaped or survived. And those I have nursed and brought up, my enemy has been destroyed because of the obedience of my people. How do you break the yoke of unbelief? How do you break the anointing of tradition? By the anointing of the performance based on the rightly divided interpretation of the Word of God. The only justification that you have in the Scriptures anywhere to keep the appointed feast day of Passover is keeping the second Passover in a far country, in a place that you choose to kill the lamb and to keep the remembrance meal with people of like mind who gather up the few, the precious, the anointed, the truth seekers that spoke often to one another and thought upon his name and performed the doctrine of revelation committed to their trust. And what does Yahweh say? I'll pour my anger and wrath upon them in the midst of the land of Egypt, which symbolizes the darkness, and they shall gnaw on their bodies for pain because of their outright rejection of God's word. Thus saith Yah, say to the birds of prey, to every sword of the beast of every field, assemble yourselves and come gather to this great sacrificial feast that I am preparing for you, even a great sacrificial feast on the mountains of Israel, at which you may eat the flesh and drink the blood of the mighty men that are fallen in their unbelief, through their disobedience and their unthankfulness and an unholiness. They have become like tingling cymbal and sound in brass as they murmur and complain in their justification for breaking the Word of God. You can actually read them the Scripture. You can actually ask these preachers. They call themselves preachers. Don't send me no money, they say. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd rather take every dime you've got, like Elijah. He took the last whole cake the widow had to make for her and her son. She gave up her whole cake. The prophet asked for it, and God provided abundantly. These preachers that won't take any tithes and offering for their services, you can bet one thing, they don't have any service to offer. If you're dedicated to the whole purpose of Yahweh and you live by the gospel, you shall preach the gospel. And by faith you shall bring revelations, because God has appointed his preachers, his prophets, to live by the gospel and to serve the people, not for their needs or their wants or their likes, but for the things that there's a famine in the land, the hungry and the destitute that are seeking for the real fruit of the nectar of the Spirit that has been brought forth in the last days through divine covenant revelation to a people that's scattered abroad as the sands of the sea and the stars in the heavens. God Almighty knows that only a remnant will be gathering up next month on the 11th day of May to kill the Passover lamb. He said, "Oh, buddy, that's sacrilegious. Oh, my God." Let me tell you what's sacrilegious. Gathering up on Easter. You'll be seeing that coming up real soon on your traditional rural television. Your prophets pray, pay, and prosper will be out in force with their Easter suits on, the women with their Easter bonnets on, keeping the tradition and boiling the swine and baking the hams and feasting on filthy pig. Never killed a lamb in their life and never will. Don't have the guts, don't have the intestinal fortitude, don't have the knowledge to keep that thing that's committed to their trust, because they're weak-minded. They'll eat the flesh of a swine, spit out the bones of a filthy pig, and deny the purpose of a lamb as a community meal, sanctified to the gathering of the Second Passover Covenant Convents, where we meet around the country in celebration of remembrance of his body. His body was a type of a lamb, not a type of a pig, not a type of a Easter egg bunny. Oh, my God. How provoked I get in my spirit when I preach the gospel. Because there's a day coming that Almighty God in his eternal burning flame wrath will bring those who would not let him rule over them through the word of God. They shall be slain in his presence and shall perish in the gainsaying of Kor, as they make their feeble-minded excuses to break Yahweh's laws and commandments to keep their own tradition. Full well, they reject the commandments of God to keep their own tradition. Ezekiel 45:21, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you shall have the Passover feast of 7 days. Unleavened bread shall be eaten. And in the 7 days of the feast, you shall prepare a burnt offering for Yahweh, 7 bullocks and 7 rams without blemish daily for the 7 days, and the he-goat for a sin offering." Ladies and gentlemen, what was this all about? Why has that been done away with? When they gathered up and they slaughtered these animals, not to burn on some sacrificial altar, to burn the bodies of these, to be smoking furnaces to go up for Yahweh to smell. These were meat offerings for the people that gathered into the fellowships and the festivals. Thousands upon thousands of lambs were slain in Passover. Now, let me tell you the change of the menu. Thousands upon thousands of swine are slain. And in dishonor and disrespect to the remembrance of our Creator, they eat the swine's flesh, the abominable things, the mouth of Isaiah 66, where they feast with the swine meat still in their teeth, as they praise the lords and the gods of Baal and worship in disrespect to the commandments of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. I'm going to tell you that the time is coming that men will not endure sound doctrine. I will tell you this in Hosea chapter 2, which is a chapter 2, the disobedient, rebellious house of Israel, the 10 northern tribes. I will cause also to cease all her mirth, her feast making, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and her solemn festivals and appointed festival assemblies. They shall gather, but not by me. They shall call, but not to me. There is a famine in the land, not for hearing the word of God, not for performance based upon the word, but for the tradition of these who are in a seem-right way, who have turned aside into vain jangling and worship the Baals and the lords and the gods of the land, performing the pagan ritual performance of Christ or Easter and Valentine's Day or whatever day that they set aside to worship their gods with their belly full of filthy swine. What will you do on the day of the appointed solemn assembly, a festival, and the day of the feast of Yahweh? When you're in exile, you shall remember, you shall turn back to God. You shall remember me in covenant. You shall say, Yahweh is my creator, and Yahweh say, it is my people who have returned in fellowship. I've told you many, many times on the Shepherd's Call radio ministry that God reveals to the humble. God reveals the secrets, the hidden things. I had a guy call me the other day, said, what do you know that's a secret that you ain't telling everybody? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm only permitted to tell what God tells me to tell. These things are preached in revelated form and preached by faith. Did you know that even if a man rose from the dead, that some of these unbelievers would still doubt and pout and kick and scream and murmur and complain, just like they did in the days of the darkness of the land of Egypt when that they came out, when Yahweh led them by the strong hand, when He gave them signs and miracles, when He brought the lambs right to the festival date and set them before Him, they murmured and complained and went a-whoring after the Baal gods of the land. They changed His times and laws. Now we got more faith in a Gregorian calendar. It's got 99 ways to count than one. And we cast aside the nature calendar that God has hanged in the heavens for signs and for miracles and for festivals and for dates of the appointed festivals. Ladies and gentlemen, when the full moon comes into being on the 11th day of next month, on the 12th is the full moon. That is the 15th day of the second month of Passover. And that's when we gather to recognize in having a dinner of lamb and the bitter salads and to take the branch of the hyssop and to dip it in the blood of the lamb in ritual performance of remembrance. This do in remembrance of me. He didn't say, raise you a glass of grape juice and break a cracker in remembrance of me. He didn't say, come on Easter Sunday and bake your hams and gather up and keep a Easter Sunday service to me on a pagan holiday, on a Gregorian calendar, on an imaginary timeline it runs through the earth. Oh my God, my people have been caused to err through tradition, through lukewarmness and the famine in the land, not for bread or water, but for hearing the word of God as they turn their feeble excuses, as they keep these pagan holidays in reverence to remembering the man that died. Ladies and gentlemen, they have no more respect for the man that died because they won't even honor his name. They won't even go down in his name. Now the popular doctrine is that he didn't even die, escaped the death of the cross, and we don't have a bleeding Savior for our sins, and we don't have an appointment, and we don't have anything to do in reverence or remembrance of him. This doctrine is growing by leaps and bounds, and the lukewarm 501(c)(3) churches has addressed it and brought it in to make it very comfortable as they enjoy their forms and fashions and their bellies full of swine's flesh as they practice and prosper and cast the truth of God's word to the ground. Amos 8:10, I will turn your feast into mourning and your songs into lamentation. I will cause sackcloth to be put upon all your lines, and your baldness shall come upon your head. And I will make that time as the mourning for an only son. At the end of it is a bitter day. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know today that people are destitute? They are desolate. They have been lukewarmed over to the point that Almighty God has spewed them plumb out of. They're sorry. They're low down. They're full of excuses. They're mummers and complainers. And God said, I want you to know you shall not escape the wrath that is laid up against the performance of your faith in the last days. Your faith will be tried on your performance, and you shall know a tree by its fruits. Oh, but Pastor Buddy, I just don't have the money to come. Glory to God. Well, why don't you have the money? Well, I just traded cars, and you know, I just renewed my mortgage and spent all my equity in my home to get me a new car. Just had to have one to get to work, you know. Glory to God. And of course, you know, we needed one. The old wife, you know, she kept on murmuring and complaining to keep up with the Joneses. Ladies and gentlemen, those that have wives, be as though they had none. It's time, high time, to wake out of sin and tradition, to quit putting up feeble excuses against God's covenants. I'm going to perform that which is delivered to me against the day of judgment with fire, when every man's works will be tried by fire, and when He comes and you bow the knee, and you'll either hear Him say, well done, my good faithful servant, you've been faithful of a few things, I'll make you ruler of many, or you'll hear Him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Oh, but Pastor Buddy, my name's on the Lamb's book, glory to God, because the preacher told me that if I'd come down there and get saved, glory to God, and I'd done that a long time ago, glory to God. And, you know, I've attended every Easter service. I don't think I've missed a one. How many times have you attended a meal called Easter where they slice the ham? The little red cherries in the middle and the pineapple slices on top of the ham and the little cloves to give it a sweet aroma. My God. My God. It is a feast of swine flesh, of gathering of those who have given themselves over to idolatry, who loveth and maketh a lie, that worship the creature, preferring swine flesh over lamb's food. What's wrong with killing a lamb? Oh, Pastor Buddy, we don't do that no more. Glory to God. No, but let me tell you what they substitute. They substitute the swine's flesh. Do you know what replaced the lamb? Ham. That's what replaced the lamb. You know why they don't kill a lamb anymore? Because that's too confining. That's too revealing. You see, your children might learn where clean meat and unclean meat comes from. Now, if you roast a pork, you know, you have a pork barbecue meal, no problem. If you roast a lamb in the fire according to the Word of God, then the Christians jump right down your throat. Well, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, you know, it doesn't really matter anyway. You stay in that Old Testament too much, far too much, glory to God. Well, I'm fixing to get in a New Testament on you. I'm going to show you in the Word of God, beginning in Acts chapter 12, long after the Messiah died, that they were still performing Passover festivals. They were still keeping the Passover long after He ascended into the heaven, long after the Lamb died. You say, well, they see now, glory to God. We don't do that no more, buddy. That was under the law. Glory to God, Shunda. Well, why did the apostolic fathers, who were not under the law, they were in the new covenant age, why did they keep observing the days of unleavened bread, which according to Matthew chapter 22, verse 1, the festival of the feast of unleavened bread is the Passover. Well, if you read in Acts chapter 12, you will find that about the time that Herod, the king, who was persecuting the apostolic brethren, stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Now, Herod was a Canaanite Edomite. He belonged to the Sanhedrin. He wasn't down there bothering the Jews, that's for sure. He was out here killing the people that call on the name that were performing these festivals unauthorized. You see, the church, the Sanhedrin church, didn't authorize this Passover. Notice this. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Ladies and gentlemen, this ain't no puppy dog tail snail message. This is a flesh and blood. You're going to be whipped, beat, hated, persecuted, rejected, and hunted down like a common criminal by keeping the commandments of God, just like these. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, you see, when they killed old James here, man, the Jews got happy. It made their day. Happy day when they killed one of God's little children here that was keeping the festival, observing the festival of Passover, and yet he wasn't going down there to that temple. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there is a direct opposition to the truth. That temple was not built by Yahweh. It wasn't commanded to be built by Yahweh. That was a temple of Herod. Herod was the Edomite, Canaanite, the Tetrarite. Did you know that Almighty Yahweh didn't keep any festivals there? Ladies and gentlemen, you need to know the rest of the story. He did not die in the first Passover to commemorate or to glorify the Jews' Passover. He was killed in the second Passover, and we've got the evidence, and we've got the scriptures on our side, and yet the unbelief of people damns their souls and sins, causes their souls to sin because of their unbelief. But it don't change the truth. We're preaching the truth right in the face of those who claim that they can still keep a first Passover. Liars. Slow bellies. Hateful spirits. Caged demonic demons that are still holding on to the tradition of the Jews. Oh yeah, they dress like they're Jews. They talk like they're Jews. But outwardly, they're raving wolves. To keep their own tradition, they won't submit to the will of God in the face of the living Word flying right in their face with the Scriptures jumping right out from page after page that Christ didn't die in the first Passover, and they'll shake their head like a bunch of goats and say, I know it says that, but... Well, here we are. Then were the days of unleavened bread... Acts chapter 12, verse 3. What's the days of unleavened bread, lady? Why was James here being killed? Why was the apostolic fathers preparing to keep this festival? Not down there at the temple. They weren't welcome down there, ladies and gentlemen. They had a death warrant against them down there, but they were still keeping the commandments of God. They were still keeping the observing the days of Passover. Because it says here, and then were the days of unleavened bread... You see, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is that Satan don't want you to keep the Passover. Did you know that Satan is the ruler of this world? Did you know that he'll change the times and the laws? He changed the festival dates? Did you know that Yahweh took the wise in their craftiness by inventing in Numbers chapter 9 the second Passover escape clause? that he himself would not honor the Jews by dying in their first Passover, but he died for those in a far journey. Can you see the symbology of him looking back towards the west as they hung him facing the east? And when you go east to its farthest point, you go west. And did you know, for those that had departed the land of Israel in 721 B.C., the other sheep, he died for those in a far journey. Oh, the wisdom, the knowledge, and the revelation of Almighty God. What joy and what power and what honor it is to stand with him in the day of the gathering, when Yahweh will come in flaming fire, and you shall give an account for every idle scripture without the proper interpretation. Now we're going to the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, and I'm going to start at the 21st for the sake of saving time, because my time is running out. And when they desired Paul to tarry a longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. Now, you think he went down to the temple? I don't think so. You see, the apostolic fathers had a gathering place, and it wasn't the temple of the Jews in Jerusalem. He was headed back to the apostolic, right where they had killed James, where they had imprisoned Peter. This assembly at Jerusalem is where Paul said, I must go and keep a feast with them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is after Christ died. If the apostolic fathers had felt like it had been under the law, they wouldn't have kept these festivals. They would have done away with them, like the unbelief of the pagan Christians that's eating swine's flesh and gathering up on the wrong day and the wrong appointed time. You shall proceed no further. To him that knoweth to do good, and after you've been rebuked and after you've been corrected, then you will not change your wicked ways. There's nothing left for you but the rod of wrath belongs to the back of the fool. All right, in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, we're going again. And upon the first day of the week, when disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech there until after midnight. Now, that meeting was the result of this fact. It is written in the sixth verse of the same chapter, Acts 20, verse 6. And Paul said, we, that's Paul and his congregation, his entourage, we sailed away after from Philippi, we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. They wouldn't travel until the Passover was over. Now, where'd they keep this Passover? At Jerusalem? Don't think so. Did you know the only justification you have keeping the first Passover is you got to keep it where the temple was? Where Israel gathered? Did you know everybody in Israel had to gather at one specific location? And today people just sweep that under the rug and say, oh, we don't do that anymore. Glory to God, we've changed the rules. They changed God's word. To keep God's word, you must keep the second Passover. Because the first Passover has done been covenantly fulfilled with the tearing down of the physical temple and the erecting of the spiritual temple of those in a far journey. Ladies and gentlemen, this is too plain for your gain. And if you will obey this form of doctrine delivered to you, you will have peace and safety. If you reject this word, you're going to stand in that day and hear him say, we piped to you, but you didn't dance. We gave you the word, but you didn't come. I was lonely and you didn't visit me. I was in prison. You see, ladies and gentlemen, here I am, Pastor Buddy, preaching the revelation of the second Passover, the only preacher that I know of in the country doing so. And yet we have just a few that will gather and break the tradition of Easter or even the Jewish Passover, the first Passover, to keep the second Passover. And those that do have been taught very well, and they have a word of witness for you. They will confirm the word with the signs following, and they have an answer ready concerning the faith that's delivered to them. Paul said, we came away from Philippi, proving that they kept the festival of Passover at Philippi. Paul and his entourage, the evangelistic team, they kept it where they found themselves in the journey, obeying that form of God's merciful law, who looked out in the time, knowing that the time would come that the second Passover would come into power and into play, and even today, we are still continuing that same spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, we know that God's work is forever settled, and nothing can be added to it, and certainly nothing taken away. They kept the second Passover in the aisles. Are you keeping the second Passover, or are you keeping the Jewish first Passover with no authorization? Well, if you want to break God's word, go ahead and do that. If you want to stand in unbelief, go ahead and do that. If you want to keep the festival of righteousness at the time appointed through the authorization of the living word of God, forever settled, nothing can be added to it, nothing certainly taken away, and you will find rest for yourself. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my time has just skipped in here and gone. Time is moving right along. In time, we will be in Passover festival beginning next month. That's on May the 14th. If you're listening to me anywhere, that will actually be on the Gregorian calendar on May the 11th. That is the Passover day where we kill the meal, the lamb. We kosher kill the lamb. We eat the lamb, the meal of lamb, not ham. We don't engage in unclean meats. And we're not unclean people. We believe in God's laws. We believe in keeping God's laws. And those that are filled with swine's flesh are going to be punished in the day of Revelation, according to Isaiah 66. Better read the book. For those who have disobeyed God's word and cast it aside and took it for a light thing, that day will come upon you unaware when he comes back to the great wedding festival. You better be ready to meet the bridegroom. Ladies and gentlemen, he's coming after a people that's kept the faith and hadn't denied his name. Those who have kept his living word and worshiped under the revelation of the second Passover. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful revelation. Well, if you'd like to call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to write Pastor Buddy tonight, you can simply write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you would like to attend the festival, write me and call me tonight that you plan to attend. We will make accommodations for you. If you'd like to reserve a room at the motel, we will be at the Super 8 Motel in Morristown, Tennessee. We will register in on the 11th day of May. We will have the meal that night, the Passover meal, in fellowship with the saints that come to Morristown, Tennessee, to be with us in celebration of the Festival of the Days of Unleavened Bread. We're still observing it, just like the Apostle Paul and all of those who observed it after he rose and went into the heavens. They were keeping it, and so are we. Here we are, almost in the end of time. Actually, 2,000 years beyond their time, when they were preaching that he was coming any moment. Ladies and gentlemen, his coming could be for you tonight. You better be also ready. Now, if you'd like to make reservations to attend, just call me for directions or for a festival feast flyer. Just say, Pastor Buddy, would you please send me a feast flyer with the information that I need to attend the festival in Morristown, Tennessee, with the Second Passover group, the only one in the nation that we know of. There may be others, and if there is, may the blessings of joy unspeakable and Shekinah glory be upon you. If you're keeping the Second Passover and you are a group that is in the sacred name and you would like to have our fellowship, just contact Pastor Buddy. That's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Or Pastor Buddy, 423-626-2172. And I would be glad to put your name down as future references that we could recommend the gathering where you're at in your area. If you're keeping the Second Passover and you would like to have that advertised on our radio show, The Shepherd's Call, just ask Pastor Buddy, and I'd be glad to do that. A lot of people around the radio network that support us every month with their tithes, their hard-earned tithes. We're talking about poor people that are attempting to support the vision and the revelation of the Shepherd's Call ministry. We really love, need, and support those that do so with our prayers, that the Father will bless them going and bless them coming. We know that many persecutions, if you do right, you're going to have persecution. If you're in the faith, we know that you're going to encounter the devil. And you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith to lay hold on life. So it's going to take a sacrifice on your behalf. Get used to suffering. Get used to persecution. Like James, they killed him with a sword and would have done the rest of the apostolic fathers, except it had been for the grace of the living God. Some died and some remained. But it didn't change the fact that they were still preaching the gospel everywhere they went. Every time they beat them, they were counted worthy to suffer shame for that great name. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor for me to preach the gospel to a people that believes the word. I love faithers. I love people that will reach out by faith. I love tenacity. I love intensity. I love desire. I love sincere desire. I love those things that are produced in the faithers that Yahweh has purposed in the last days to put on the whole armor to go marching through the land. Well, my time is already out of here, and tonight I would like to send greetings around the radio network in anticipation of the Second Passover. We're looking forward to having you in here next month on the 11th day of May, where that we can fellowship and have sweet counsel together by performing that which is committed to our trust, the obedience of the Word of God. We're not in the famine, ladies and gentlemen. We're in the time that Yahweh has given for the blessing of the revelation of the covenant of truth. Now remember, we are going to be in Passover Festival. That'll be the 11th of May. Next month, it's coming up real soon. Make your plans to attend. If you need directions to Morristown, Tennessee, to the Super 8 on East Andrew Johnson Highway, just write me or call me. I'll be glad to send you out the information. Many blessings to you in the festivals. Many blessings to you to come. May you keep the faith, and may Yahweh bless you coming in, and may He bless you going out.
Advance the flag of Dixie, hoorah, hoorah. For Dixie's land we take our stand, live or die for Dixie.